If you would open your Bibles to the book of Galatians, and wherever you go to church, if you're just visiting or if you're watching online, if they don't have you open your Bibles, go to another church. Seriously, open your app on your phone, open your Bibles. But if you don't have to open your Bible in that church, as wonderful as they are, as big as they are, as fancy, as cool as they are, get out and get to a good Bible teaching church. So open your Bibles, the book of Galatians, chapter 6 is where we're going to be in. I got to get there myself. Give me just a moment. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, and then Galatians. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, let Pastor Gary or myself know, or Jason or Mr. Don or Mr. Anthony. We'll get you a Bible free. This church is so generous. With God's word, they'll get you a Bible free in Jesus' name, in whatever translation you're comfortable with. All right, Galatians chapter 6, and what we're going to do, once I get there myself, we're going to read the first, we're going to go through 10 verses today. So once you're there, we'll read it together, and then we'll go through verse by verse. Okay. Love to hear those pages rustling. If you're using your app, that's okay too, but I can't hear anything. So make a good phone noise, like click, click, click. Okay, thank you. All right, here we go. Starting in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 10, let's read it together, and then we'll go through verse by verse. All right? Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he should take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with their instructor. Then it goes on to say in 7 to 10, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man or woman, we would say, reaps what they sow. The one who sows to please the sinful nature, from the sinful nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of God. Okay, well, let's start going through. If I had to sum up these 10 verses in two words, these were the two words that I would use, okay? The two words I would use for these 10 verses in two words, it would be choices. Good to see you, bro. It would be choices, and the second word would be others, okay? In two words, it encapsulates our text here today. This would be it. The first one is others, and this is what we're going to talk about first. The founder, this is just an interesting story. When you become a Christian, your life starts to change. The way you think, the way you give, the way you spend your time, all these things starts to change, and you start to change from focus on yourself to focus on the Lord and focus on others. It starts to change. Sometimes it's slow, sometimes, but it'll change. And your eyes get set to him, and your eyes get set to others, to how to minister to them in Jesus' name. Now, there's a guy by the name of General Booth, not actually a general, but he was the founder of the Salvation Army, right? And the Salvation Army is I don't know how to say this, Salvation Army today is not like it was back then. When the Salvation Army was founded, they were a force to be reckoned with. They were filled with the Spirit and with power and with righteousness and holiness and godliness. And they were having an international conference. And General Booth was unfortunately, he was too old to make it. I think it was around 1910. Anyway, he was too old to make it. They didn't have Skype. They didn't have video conferencing back then, right? And so they sent a message. He sent a message by telegram, and it was only one word to this international conglomeration of people that were serving the Lord on fire for him, right? And the only thing he said was, others. So that's where we start off in these verses. It's focusing on others, and we're going to start off. There's a difference between knowing God, right? And there's a difference between not knowing God. And it's a big difference, okay? You know who you are when you're a child of the King. And because I know who I am in Christ, I can focus on him and I can focus on others because I love for the Lord. When I'm not saved, I'm so focused on myself, I can hardly see anything else. I become almost self-centered and self-focused. And Galatians chapter 6, 1 to 2 starts us off and it says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Now, I'm a word guy. Okay, I don't know why I'm a word guy, but I love words. They're cool to me. I love archaeology. It's another kind of weird thing about me. But I love archaeology and I love words. And so the first one is brothers. And the word in Greek here is adelphos, and it means brethren. And it means, so people are like, well, it doesn't mean it's just for the men. No, it means brothers. It means brethren. It means male, female, young, old, teens. This is for all of us. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this is for you, okay? And he's like, fellow believer in Jesus Christ, he says to you, if someone is caught in a sin, that word in Greek is prolembano, and that means to be surprised. It's not talking about someone who's hard-hearted and is like, I don't really care. You know, I'm just going to do this sin anyway. I don't care what you think. I don't care what God thinks. I'm just going for it. It's not talking about that kind of person who's in sin. God's talking here about someone who's fighting the good fight of faith but has fallen into a trap, right? Who's been tempted by the enemy, who's been tricked, whatever you want to say, overtaken in the trap of sin. You know, you can picture, you know, the enemy. In case you don't know this, the enemy is scheming against you. The longer I've walked with the Lord, the more I have found this to be true. And just increases. So almost picture you going out for a walk, right? Where you know, and the enemy's setting little traps for you to step in. And this is what he does. So if you've been overtaken in that trap, if you've been surprised, if someone is caught in that sin, this is what it's talking about. That type of a person. It says, and this is where we have to be careful because the enemy's after us. It says that sin, this is in Genesis, it says sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. You can't see it, but it says Genesis 4:7. But the good news is with the Lord, even though the enemy is, you have our own flesh that works against us. We have the enemy that's working against us. We have the culture that's working against us. We have a God that is for us, not against us. Right? And greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And that's amazing. So even if you found yourself overtaken in a sin or caught in a sin, and even if you've gone down a deep, dark pit, right? Guess what? We can still always look up. Sometimes the Lord has to get us flat on our back to where we can only look up. Right? But my eyes are always on the Lord. And here's the reason why. Because he rescues me from the traps of my enemies. That's our God. And so it doesn't matter how deep that hole is, God's going to send that ladder down for you that you may climb out. Because that's our God. That's Psalm 25:15 in New Living Translation. Our God wants us to have that same kind of helping hand. I've been to churches, I've met Christians when I don't know if I can say this right. When you sin, and I say when, because guess what? Even if you're the most godly person here, you're not Jesus. You're not perfect, which means occasionally, I hate to say it, you're going to sin. Now, you're never going to be sinless, but the closer you walk with the Lord, you're going to sin less. Does that make sense? Capiche? Okay. But we should be, and I've been to churches like this where when you sinned, it's almost like, there's Chris. Let's just pray for the sinner. You know? Or there's Natalie. Oh, it's her. Let's just gossip behind her back. Right? Or Mary Kate. Oh.
Hey, watch it.
Okay. I'll pick somebody else, Pastor. Okay. Oh, Maggie, I know her background. Why is she even sitting up here in church? And Neely, of all people, why is she working at the school? Yeah, we have these judgmental attitudes, right? And I tell you, that's not the heart for others that God wants us to have. Listen, there's something that can happen to all of us when we get all this information, when God's transforming our lives and we're starting to break all these chains. Right? And we're starting to feel better. One of two things happen. You can either be a man or a woman of humility, or you can be a man or woman of pride, looking down at everybody. Oh, that Brett guy. Not as far along on his walk am I as me. Guess he needs to shape up or he needs to ship out. You know what I mean? It's so...
Ouch.
Ouch, sorry. But here's the deal. This is what... the kind of people that we need to be. We don't need to be the kind of people that's pointing fingers. We need to kind of be the kind of person that grabs the hand, right? When somebody's drowning, they need somebody to love on them and to speak the truth. Now, once in a while, they need a kick in the pants, right? But most of the time, can I tell you what? I was in the hospital for a while, a few years back with cancer, and there were two kind of nurses, right? There were two. There was very compassionate, loving nurses that would tell me the truth, but also they were kind to me. They were patient with me. And then there's other nurses who I like to call them Attila the Hun nurses, and they seem to kind of enjoy my pain. I don't know. They're just like, you know, oh, you had no sleep. Let me wake you up and give you a pinprick now. Ah, draw blood. Anyway. But this is the attitude we have. If someone's drowning, we should be lending a hand, not pointing a finger, right? It says in James chapter 5, 9 to 20, it says, my brothers and sisters, right? If one of you should wander from the truth or get caught in a sin, whatever you want to do, and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from that error of their way will save them from death and they'll cover a multitude of sins. You see the blessing you get from being a loving person who's reaching out to people to help them? Thank you, Natalie. You're going to be blessed, the Lord says, by handling things in a humble way. Does that make sense? Okay. It says, brothers or sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual, that word is pneumatikos, and that means one who is filled with the Spirit of God, or one who's governed by the Spirit of God. Someone who is living and walking by the Holy Spirit. So if you're a spiritual one, if you're living by the Spirit, if you're walking according to his word, if this is you, then your attitude should be one of restoration, right? It shouldn't be one of pride. And I watch so many Christians get prideful, and it's so distasteful to me. It's actually disgusting to me. I see it all the time. You know who are the worst? You know who's the worst? And I'm saying this as a pastor. He's the worst I've seen many times. Pastors! Leaders! They're the worst. Can I tell you what? I'm so thankful for people like Pastor Gary. He's a godly man. He's a sincere man. He's a humble man. I'm thankful for folks like Jason, humble man, loving the Lord, and he's lifting up others. I'm thankful for others like Don and Anthony who are reaching out, trying to help others. I'm thankful for you guys, reaching out, helping others. Brad, I can't even tell you how many people you've helped. So thankful. Neely, there's so many people. I can just say, thank you. Thank you. I can't even do it enough. Thank you for blessing us and for helping the people around you. That's the attitude we should have, right? And listen, if you're strong, you don't need to even let people know you're a real strong person. Helps people. This was the best scripture picture I could get for this. Okay, and I love this picture because this is almost in the way. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. The camera people are freaking out right now. Okay, so hopefully that won't fall over. But Romans 15:1, I don't know if you can see this guy. There's a little difference in his muscle body mass, right, than this person. You notice that? What is the strong person doing? He's lifting him up. He's helping him. He's encouraging him. He's not going, you jerk. So you who are strong, bear with the failings of the weak. And not to please yourself. In other words, help others. Be focused on others. Does that make sense? It doesn't matter if you're young or old or near or far. This should be your attitude. Capiche? That's Romans 15:1. It goes on to say, listen, brothers or sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you are spiritual, should restore that person. Okay? Kartezizo in the Greek. And what it means in Mark chapter 1:19, when the disciples were fixing their nets, right, mending their nets, this is the word they used. It's the same word, and when it's used in outside of the Bible, it means to set a bone. In other words, what you're doing, you're mending, you're fixing, you're repairing, you're restoring. That's the heart of a Christian that God wants us to have. Right? I could very easily judge some of you, and you maybe could judge some of us. But this is the attitude, and our goal isn't even a remodel, right? It's a restoration. Pastor Gary loves cars, okay? He loves an old car guy. Oh, I'm sorry. He loves old cars. Hopefully you don't love old car guys. No, you probably do, but in a different way. But he loves that whole old car when something's restored with original. It just and so that's why I originally made this a long time ago. But 1 Peter 5:10 says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." See, this is Jesus' heart. He's a restoring God. He restores us. He repairs us. He mends us. He fixes those broken bones in us. Does that make sense? He takes care of it. That's his heart towards us, and that's the heart we want to have. Pastor Gary, you want to speak?
Something about restoring cars, a lot of times they're restored better than they were when they came out of the factory originally. And that's what the Lord does with us. He makes us better than we came to earth.
That's good. It's almost like that honey one from a couple weeks ago. That's good. Thank you, guys. Hey, if you want to speak or something, just share or ask a question, you may do that. Raise your hand and we'll get the microphone to you. So, brothers or sisters, if anyone is caught in a sin, you are a spiritual, should restore that person quickly. Harshly? What does it say? Well, Pastor, that's just not how I am. I'm from New York. We don't do it that way. We're from Jersey. I'm Italian. I'm whatever your excuse is. I didn't grow up that way. Listen, you have the power of the Holy Spirit if you're spiritual, and that includes self-control and includes the spirit of gentleness. So you ask the Lord to help you to do it gently. Now again, there's going to be times when God says, hey, we're going to need to correct people with the word of God. We're even going to be able to rebuke people, right? There are times when Pastor Gary has had to kick me in the tush.
And vice versa.
He says, and vice versa, right? So there are times when we need that, right? But by and large, if all I ever got was kicked by Pastor Gary, I wouldn't have the strength to get up. 95% of the time, Pastor Gary's lending a helping hand. That's what we do for one another. Does that make sense, Robin? That's the kind of people God wants us to be. Not hypocrites, not unkind, not unloving. So The word is praotes, and it means, again, that spirit of meekness, humility, gentleness. And again, you're that strong person helping that other person up during those times, right? What if somebody comes against me, and this happens all the time, Bible studies or this and that, whoa, they're all mad because the enemy just loves to hate. And you know what? Here's what we're supposed to do. If maybe you have it in your family, maybe you have it in your life, we're to gently instruct those who oppose the truth, right? Sometimes I can smack the snot out of people. I could argue and cut down people pretty good. But that's not the best way. It's not God's way. So gently instruct, 2 Timothy 2:25 says, those who oppose the truth, and perhaps God will change these people's hearts when they learn the truth. And then it says, above all, it says, if you see someone caught in a sin and you who are spiritual, restore that person gently, watch yourselves, or else you may be tempted. What does that mean? When you're helping someone else, make sure that you're not tempted yourself. I remember one time, just being transparent, counseling couples, this was many, many years ago. Counseling a couple, I won't get into the what, and they were talking about something they were struggling, and I didn't even know what it was. So I'm like, and it sounds stupid to me. I was going to be careful, that sounded a little harsh. But it sounded dumb. I've never even heard of it. So I'm like, I'm just going to look it up to find out a little bit more about it. What? Be careful when you're helping people that you're also not tempted, right? And then it goes on to say in Galatians 6:2, speaking of bearing others' burdens, it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. It's the law of love. So the loads we carry to help others, it can include a lot of things. It can include instructing others, like we're doing in these Bible studies. That's what we're doing. We're carrying your burdens. We're helping you to come to know Christ better. We're encouraging stumbling saints. And when we're directing them, we're comforting those who are grieving and afflicted. Thank God for the grief share class. We're visiting the sick and the lonely. We stopped by. I'm so thankful for Don. He came with me, and we stopped by to see Barb, and praying for her and to help her with her situation. And even this week, we're counseling those who are struggling. Some of you are taking marriage counseling or even premarital counseling. Guidance in the Word to help others grow. Listening. Sometimes you can listen to people. Care. Connect. Pray for others. Listen, and this isn't Jason's job or my job or Anthony's job or Pastor Gary's job or Miss Lisa's job. You know whose job this is? Thank you. It's all of our jobs. Sometimes we want to say, oh, this is a Pastor D. Yeah, handle it. No, God is probably... Now, sometimes it's okay to do that. But most of the time, the person is being put with you because God's saying you've got a connection with them. And so this is what we're supposed to be doing. And this burden bearing shouldn't be like, oh, I'm a Christian. There's Martha. Guess I got to help her. Oh, she's such a pain in the butt. Is that the right heart attitude God wants us to have?
No.
No, it's like, okay, Lord, Martha's struggling right now. She's not. I just pick people that I know well enough to don't get mad at me, because when I do these illustrations, I just pick people, and then some people get so mad at me. Anyway, she's not struggling. But that's the kind of heart God wants us to have for one another. And can I tell you one more thing? You're not going to know each other's burdens. Everybody, you know, here's what I'd be happy with. I'd be happy to be an island Christian, an island boy. Not island, no, never mind. Not the group, but an island Christian. In other words, I'm happy right here on my stool with my Bible, with my Lord. It's good and safe there. That's where I would just like to be on my own. But that's not the heart of the Lord. The only way you can get to know one another, what burdens they're sharing and carrying, the only way to know that is to get to know and serve with one another. I'm guessing that sometimes, Brett, you get to know what's going on in Neely's life or Stan's life because you're around them serving. Or or at the school, or here serving, or at a or lunch together, at a Bible study. If you're not going to any of the Bible studies, can I just tell you something? That's a better way to put it. Thank you. I was going to use other words. The Holy Spirit just spoke through you. You're missing out, and you're robbing other people. Because you maybe are only thinking, oh, I don't have time for that. Oh, I don't like these people. I. Maybe God's saying, I want you to be there to minister out to people. You know what I'm saying? So listen, that's what we're supposed to do to one another, help others. And some of us need to plug in that battery charger. This is in Thessalonians. This is Thessalonians 5:14. It says, this is Paul. He says, and we urge you, brothers, we warn those who are idle and disruptive, but we want you to encourage the disheartened, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. That's not natural. Maybe it is for some of you, but not with me. It goes on in 6:3. It says, if you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important. Listen, I like how the New Living Translation said it, but like the Pharisees in Jesus' time, Paul's showing us right now that what prevents us from being a restorer or a reviver, a burden bearer, he's showing us what prevents that. And it's pride, honestly. It's thinking of ourselves more important than we are. I like this little picture. Do you see the little crown on her head? What does she look like, a little princess? I don't need to help these people. I'm a little better than you. Oh, Kathy, I'm so sorry. I saw your hand up earlier, and I'm so sorry. Would you bring that microphone back there to her? And we'll hear if you have a question or a comment.
I was just going to make a comment. And by not putting yourself above others, you can truly do the work of God if he calls upon you.
Yes.
And sometimes if you have been in that situation, you're not going, oh, you're like that.
Yes.
But it seems like he uses you in that connection, perhaps.
Correct.
And you have to be patient.
Yes.
Because someone might come across a certain way, but if you're patient and continue to work that way and just stay consistent, yes, he will use that. And
yes,
well, he sees
down
something perhaps you don't, and it's, yes, not up to me to see it, but to, yes, use it. And I know that when I have spoken to some people, it's that kind of Christian, yes, that turns them away.
Correct.
It's the one who says, they go, oh, yeah, well, you know, you got to go, yes, through them. And it's like, it's not them at all.
Correct.
It's this book here. So I just wanted to share.
Amen. That. Good work. So listen, so if a Christian is neglecting or refusing to bear others' burdens or get to know, I don't really want to get to know you, because then I might have to, listen, if you're that kind of person, you're self-deceived. Because listen, God, in God's economy, serving is the goal, right? In God's economy, pride is nothing. You know, thinking you're about too important to help, or I don't. Listen, Jesus said something to his disciples in Mark 9:35. It says, sitting down, Jesus called the 12 disciples to him and says, hey, if you want to be first in the kingdom, then you got to be, you must be the very last and the servant of all. So if you really want to, it's not being the pastor. It's not having the certain gift of the Holy Spirit. What it is being a servant. When we see Jesus face to face, he's not going to say, although this is a good thing, right? He's not going to say, well done, good and faithful tither. He's not going to say, well done, good and faithful prophet. Well done, good and faithful healer. Well done, what does he say? Well done, good and faithful. Because if you're serving the Lord, right, and you expect nothing in return, that's the other thing. You have to do it for him. Because listen, if she doesn't respond the way I think she should, huh, who does she think she is? Hopefully it's okay that I do that. Do you know what I mean? We can get this little attitude, and that's so ungodly, right? It's about the Lord. It's about others. And that's where it needs to stay. God bless you. Galatians 6:4 goes on and says, hey, don't compare yourself to others. It says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you'll get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. Listen, Paul, through the pen of the Holy Spirit, is stressing the importance of our focus. It's easy for Christians to criticize, right, another person or another ministry instead of the hard word of focusing on ourselves. In a marriage, can I tell you? If you're focused on your spouse, you have the wrong focus. You know where you need to focus first? Pull the log out of your own eye. Then you'll be able to see a lot better to pick the speck out of your brother's or your sister's eye. And that's true in all relationships, right? So God is saying, listen, I don't want you to focus, right, being critical or prideful like that prissy princess or whatever, have that kind of attitude. I want you to have an attitude, a hard work of focusing on ourselves, right? And the work God has for us. Each one of us is answerable to God for our own work, not for the work of others, right? And then he goes on to say in Galatians 6:5, he says, for each one should carry their own burden or their own load. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. I thought we just read a couple of other verses earlier that said we're supposed to carry other people's burdens. So which is it? It's a Bible contradiction. The Bible's wrong. No, it's a totally different word. The word in the earlier verses of Galatians 6, whatever it was, 2 or 3, it means to carry a heavy load, an unbearable load, whether that's grief or loneliness or depression or worry or anxiety or fear. Help them carry that load or our unbelief. And here he uses a different word. The word he uses for burdens is fortion, and it means a backpack. Actually, Paul's speaking of us taking personal responsibility for ourselves. And in Greek, it's used to describe a backpack. In fact, it's used to describe a Roman backpack called the sarcina, which they'd have everything, a Roman soldier would have everything they needed for life. They had their little bedroll up there, their cooking pots and pans, they'd have food in there, they'd have a shovel. Basically, everything the Roman soldier needed to live was on this backpack. And he's saying, listen, I need you to not be a black hole. God's saying, listen, he's saying, and I've been ministering for many years, and I can tell you, that there are some people that they don't carry their own backpack. They want everybody else to carry everything for them continually. I want my wife to carry it, my husband to carry it, my kids to carry it, the government to carry it, everybody to carry it. No, carry your own backpack. What you need first, okay? You need to take personal responsibility for yourself. And that's what he's saying. You need to do that first. Then you can help and carry others. And some folks, they're like a perpetual black hole. The only way they survive is they're sucking off of everybody else. And here's what's happening. Because you're doing that, there's a bunch of people here that are overloaded. Some people here are carrying too much, and they're getting worn out and burnt out. Because some of you might be, or maybe the folks online, are a black hole. I want the church to take care of me. Somebody to take care of me. My brother says somebody needs to take care of me. Get off of your butt. Take care of your own responsibility. And then you can help take care of others. And then guess what? Then those people who are caring too much, you can help carry some of those boxes. Do you remember that a few pictures back with that guy carrying so many boxes he couldn't see? You know what? There's folks in here that are doing that. And it would be great if you came by and took a box off. Do you know what I'm saying? The only reason maybe we're not doing that for one another is because not saying you, folks online, no. Maybe we're being a little selfish or self-centered. But if we're thinking of the Lord and we're thinking of others, that's how he wants us to be. So we need to take personal responsibility. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done in the body, whether good or bad." We need to take up our own backpack, right? And then we need to be helping others. There was a time when Peter and the apostles were following Jesus, and he was talking to Peter, and Peter's like, "Hey, what about John? What about him?" And Jesus answers, what if I want him to remain alive until I return, Peter? What does that matter? What does it matter what I do with him? You follow me." And sometimes we're so focused on another person. What about him? What about her? What about them? How about you just, "Lord, deal with me"? Does that make sense? And then it says a weird thing in Galatians 6:6. It says, "Anyone who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor." And a lot of pastors say this is about you need to give money to your pastor and tithes. I don't think that's what it's saying at all, because it doesn't flow with the context. I think what he's saying is, listen, if your folks around you, if whoever's helping you, Bible study leader or a friend, whatever, share them. It could mean money, but chances are it means sharing, speaking a kind word to them. When I came in this morning, can I tell you what? Somebody stopped me and they said, "You know what? I am so thankful for you, Pastor." It's like, I'm paraphrasing what they said. This is what I heard. But they said something to the, she goes, "I'm so thankful that I sit under a pastor who preaches the word and does it faithfully. And it's not like so many other churches where they're preaching this fluffy stuff. I am so thankful that no matter how hard it is or how many people listen, you keep preaching the truth." And I was like, "Thank you, Lord." Let me tell you, that's sharing good things with your instructor. Nothing was more valuable than that to me. It encouraged me, right? It could mean praying for them. I can't tell you how many times somebody sent me a note, a text of encouragement, or somebody said, "Praying for your brother, praying for your sister," right? We should be doing that for one another. It's encouraging. That's so much more valuable than money. And then these last verses, I'm just going to read them. And this is down to choices as we close out with these last few verses. It says, verse 7 through 10, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity to do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of God." So, here's what I'd like to say. This is not from the Bible, but this was a neat saying that I read, talking about reaping and sowing, choices. You sow a thought, you'll reap an action. You sow an act, you'll reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. You sow your character, and you'll reap a destiny. Isn't that cool? Or the C.S. Lewis quote. Nope, can't do it. Right? Starts with the thought, then the actions. The actions become the habit, right? The habits become the character. The character becomes the destiny, right? Or C.S. Lewis, he said this, and I really liked it. He says, "Every time you make a choice, you're turning the central part of you," right? Who you are on the inside, right? The central part of you that chooses into something a little different from what it was before. Right? When you make these choices, you are slowly turning this central thing, who you are, either into a heavenly creature or a hellish one. That's pretty strong, right? Or here's what I have to say. If you want to learn to grow well as a Christian, you have to learn to sow well. And sowing seeds is giving away, focusing on others. How long have I been teaching, Pastor?
43 minutes.
Yes.
Speaking about giving away, the Pope told all the priests that they had to sell all their big mansions and give them away. It just came out a few days ago. So he's given all up all the lavish apartments you know, to the priest, they have to sell them all.
Well, we'll see if that that happens. If they do,
they open up the gates for mills and everything. It's been closed for like 300-400 years. He's opened up everything and said, "Hey, we're going to change the way we do things."
So, well, hopefully, if that's the case, that's at least a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
And then we got to get them back to the Bible. But anyway, here's some principles of sowing and reaping. Sowing is just scattering seeds, right? And reaping is reaping the harvest, right? And so here are some principles for us to learn. There's five of them, if you take notes or if you do it online. First is we reap and sow in a limited time. This is a lesson for you and me, right? Farmers only have a certain amount of time to plant their seeds, right? Before the season ends or there's no future harvest. In that same way, you're only here a limited time. I don't know if I can say, I've buried a lot of people. I've buried teenagers. I've buried elderly people and everywhere in between. And I would say most of them did not think that that was their time. So here's the deal. In that same way, we reap and sow in a limited time. God has, if you're here and you're saved, if you're not saved yet, you still have a chance to give your life to the Lord right now, young or old. If you're saved, God's saying, I handed out a tract to everyone. I don't know if you read it. How many of you read it? I'm just going to raise your hand. How many read that tract? Like 25%. All right, thank you for being honest. It says, don't waste your life. And then I told you to give it away. But here's the thing. This is what it says in James chapter 4, verse 14. And we almost need to remind ourselves because we're so busy, right? This is what it says. It says, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then what? Vanishes. Reap and sow while you still time. God is saying, hey, it's still a season. You can still do it. You're still capable. Use the time that God has given you. I don't care if you have 80 years or 8 years or 8 minutes. Use the time you have left. Well, Pastor, I don't really like thinking about that kind of thing. I brought my family here. Well, good, because it's time for us to think about things like that. Psalm 90, verse 12, when I see this, I think of, can't remember. You know that song, time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Steve Miller. Well, that's what I see when I see this. But in Psalms, God says it this way to us. Teach us to number our days so that we might gain a heart of wisdom. I'm only on this earth for a little while. Lord, help me to make the most of my time. It's very easy to sit back. I love my TV. I love my shows. I love my stupid game on my phone. I know I shouldn't, but I do. I could spend all day, all night right there. Or I could spend a little time reaching out, calling, encouraging. Does that make sense? Listen, we're a mist. This is Psalm 39, verse 4. The Bible says, Lord, remind me of how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and how fleeting my life is. There's a quote by C.T. Studd that I've used since the first day I was in this church, and the Lord just spoke it to my heart. And it says, only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ is going to last. Think about that. Here's the second principle of reaping and sowing. Number two is we reap the same kind as we sow. In other words, if you plant squash seeds, don't expect to get grapes. Okay, that makes sense, right? So if you're planting sinful thoughts, if you're looking at things, if you're listening to things, I can just tell you in my life, if that's what's going on a regular basis, well, then you know what comes forth? The actions, the ungodly actions. I'm listening to music. I don't even think it's bothering. You know what? Yeah, I start cursing with the music. I start talking like it's really weird. But listen, If you plant those sinful thoughts and actions, you're going to reap the bad consequences of that. If you plant seeds of God's word, if you take the time and you're renewing your mind daily, right, with or godly actions, you're going to reap blessings. Look, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, 7 to 8, it says, listen, do not be deceived. God is not going to be mocked. You're going to reap what you sow. You can live however you want to live. You can be selfish, self-centered, self-focused. You cannot live for God and not live for others, but that's what you're going to produce. Not going to be good. And then it says, the one who chooses to sow to his sinful nature is going to reap destruction. That means rot in the Greek. And the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit is going to reap eternal life. And when it says, don't be deceived, that means he's speaking to Christians. Guess what? You can be tricked into thinking that by your own flesh, by the enemy, by a friend, by the TV, by the world, the culture, whatever. That word deceived is planao, and it means to wander, to roam from safety or from truth, or it means to be led astray. Almost like a temptress, right? To be led into deception, into error, to be seduced and to fall away. Don't be seduced. There's a song. How many of you guys know Casting Crowns? Okay. All right. Good. They're a good group. Anyway, they've got the song. I'll try not to sing it, but it's hard for me to say the words. But it goes, it's a slow fade. When you give yourself away, it's a slow fade. When black and white have turned to gray. And then it goes, and thoughts invade, choices made. A price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. And that's true. You reap what you sow. Thank you for being merciful. But isn't that true? Could you bring the mic back there? Okay, yeah, wit's out of here. He's heard enough of this sowing and reaping stuff. Oh, sorry, Pastor. Thank you.
Just a reminder, sometimes
thank you, Stan.
What we reap, somebody else will sow. We won't always see the fruit that comes from the seeds we plant.
That's true. I think I'll mention that in just a moment. That's fantastic. You're absolutely right. Number three, we'll reap in a different season than when we sow. So farmers, they don't plant seeds. You don't, if you ever planted a seed in a garden or a farmer, Schittelbauer means head farmer. Hopefully it doesn't mean head farmer. What? But it means like lead farmer or head farmer. So farmers or gardeners, they don't plant a seed. You don't plant a tomato plant and then just sit there and stare at it. Right? You don't plant an orange tree if you live in Florida. And just, okay, it's been an hour, right? So in that same way, right, we don't, the seeds bear fruit after a long period of time and a different season. So you're absolutely right. You're planting seeds now that somebody else might harvest later. You don't know. There are times where I've shared the word and nothing, and then God has had someone else water it down the way. Or maybe you have. Or maybe then you've harvested later on, or vice versa. And that's okay. But we're going to reap a harvest if we do one thing, if we don't give up. Let us not become weary in doing good. This is Galatians 6:9. For we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. The thing that the enemy hits me most with, just give up. Yeah. It's so much easier. And can I tell you what? That appeals to my flesh. Because then I don't have to have people yelling at me. I don't have to have people mad at me that I'm telling the truth. I just be everybody's pal. Then I tell them what they want to hear, and nobody has to give me a hassle at all. I want to do that. But God doesn't want me to do that, and so I don't want to do that. And if you, sometimes it even brings you to tears. Many times, I can't even tell you the number of times you see somebody go in the wrong direction or whatever. But the Bible says, "Look, those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy." Psalm 126:5. And the last two, as we close out, We reap more than we sow. Imagine if you planted an orange plant, waited a decade, and then after a decade or decade and a half of tending it, you get one orange. I'd be like, oh, yeah. Right? You plant an apple tree, you wait 20 years, and there's one apple on it with one seed. Pooey! No, when that orange tree grows, there's lots of fruit. And in lots of those fruits, there's lots of seeds. And in lots, and those seeds are the seeds of life. So when you're planting, when you're investing, when you're doing it in Jesus' name, you're investing. You're planting seeds with your words. You're planting seeds with your action. You're either leading people to Christ or you're leading people away from Christ by your attitude, by your actions, by your words. Does that make sense? You get to choose it. I can't choose it for you. I want to, but I can't. There's a parable. I won't go into the whole thing, but where it says the seed is the word of God. It talks about the farmer and it is us, and we're to scatter seeds, and the seed is the word of God, and some is going to fall on rocky soil and die immediately. Some's going to be on shallow soil. It's going to look like it springs up quickly, but it doesn't have any real root, and it's going to die. And some's going to start to grow, but then it's going to be choked out by the weeds, which are the worries of this life and the cares, everything else spoken to it, so it doesn't bear fruit. But then there's some that bear fruit 30, 60, and 100. That seed that has life, that fell on the good soil, represents those who hear and accept the word of God and produce a harvest 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as been planted. So we always reap more than we sow. And then the very last principle of sowing and reaping, we can't change past harvests. So here's the deal. If you're burdened by guilt or all the things that you haven't done, right, or all the things that you didn't do enough of or you did wrong, guess what? His mercies are new every morning. Tomorrow's a brand new day. Listen, some harvests, just like a farmer, are scarce. Some are disappointing. Maybe you've invested in people and things and others are going to yield bumper crops. Don't live in the past. If you want to reach future crops, then you got to plant right now. I'm going to share just a couple stories with you before. This is Alfred Nobel. This is the Nobel Peace Prize. In the 80s, it was made of solid gold. You know how valuable that was? 183 grams of gold. Now it's like a silver gold mix. But anyway, he was a Swedish chemist, if you don't know, Alfred Nobel. And while he was alive, he awoke one morning and read his own obituary in the newspaper. He was looking and it said this. It says, his main thing was he was inventor of dynamite, believe it or not, if you don't know that. It says that it read, Alfred Nobel, the inventor of dynamite, who died yesterday, devised a way for more people to be killed in a war than ever before, and he died a very rich man. And he was. But it was actually, the truth of the matter was, it was Alfred's older brother who had died. The newspaper had got it wrong. But that account had a tremendous impact on Nobel. And so he decided he wanted to be remembered for something different than just dynamite and getting rich. As a result, he initiated the Nobel Peace Prize to reward individuals who foster peace. And he said, every man or woman ought to have the chance to correct his epitaph in midstream and write a new one. You still have that chance. Or my wife has this saying. This was her last year's saying, if I remember correct. And she says, the best time to plant a tree that will bear fruit was 20 years ago. The second best time to plant that tree is right now. Yes, we have a microphone. Thank you. Two rows back. Thanks.
So last Sunday, someone had mangoes like sitting with the free food in Jesus' name. And I took one mango and the next couple days I ate it and then I dried the seed out and I looked like how to plant these things because I love plants. I have a bunch of indoor plants. anyways, you have to like crack the big seed open, and there's like a smaller seed inside, and I just, you know, planted it. Anyways, I looked, and it's like growing, and I'm like, I just did this as an experiment. I didn't really, I've never done this before.
Yes.
But the little mango seed has now like four leaves, and it's just, I'm not going to see this probably for 20 years,
yes,
you know how
right.
long it takes
right.
for a mango tree.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I don't even have a home. But anyways, yeah. I just did it. I just did it just to do it.
Yes.
And so yeah, now I have this little mango plant.
Right. And that's great. That's a great example. And so even, listen, here's the neat thing. Again, you might not have started 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 2 years ago, whatever it is for you, but you can start right now with the words you say, with the actions today, with what you get out of your life, what sin you get out of your life, and what godly things you start in your life, right? You can start bearing fruit for the kingdom of God today, but you have to make that choice. Capiche? And then the last verse closes us out with, therefore, listen, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. It's the culture, trashy in general. We're getting a little bit of reprieve this last year, thank God. But anyway, but it says in Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially in the household of faith. So when all this bad stuff culture is accepted that's against the word of God all around us, we can just say, you know what, we're going to take care of our backpack, our stuff, and we're going to make it good and godly, and then I'm going to try to help others around me, my neighbors, as best as I can. Does that make sense? And this is our last scripture verse, and this is from Ephesians 5, 15 to 16. Speaking to you, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. You're being given opportunities. You'll be given opportunities when you leave this place. You'll be given opportunities this week. Make the most of them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Rewrite your own epitaph now. Capiche? All right. Father, I want to say thank you for every man, woman, young person here today, Lord God. All the people, Lord, that listen to us online, Lord God, we pray a blessing over them, Lord. I pray that you would stir them up, Lord, that they would remember. Even James 14 is coming to mind right now as I'm praying that we are like a mist. We're here today and gone tomorrow, Lord God. And only what's done for you is going to last. So, Lord, plant that seed deeply in someone's heart and maybe many people's heart today. Stir those who know you to love and good deeds, to be more focused on you and on others than themselves, Lord God. Even today, stir them up, Lord God, to be loving more, encouraging more, listening more, serving more, caring more to those around them in your name, Lord God. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help all of us to grow and to bear fruit, Lord God. Fruit that would last. We want to sow to the Spirit, Lord, and reap blessings that last eternally, Lord. Help us to do that, Lord, for many years to come. In Jesus Christ's name and all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.